Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, you'll be surprised to know we're in Romans again. Romans chapter 5. And we'll be reading from verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we've sung about that already, haven't we? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Last time we were in Romans, we moved on from Paul's arguments for justification by faith into this section of the word. This section that expounds on what the results or benefits of being justified faith are. And the first was peace with God in verse 1. And that's a state of peace with God. That's not about how we feel, but comes as a result of justification, as a result of us now being declared righteous. Because we're no longer God's enemies. We're at peace with him. We looked at what it meant to have access to God. Access that comes about as a result of being at peace with him. The second benefit of justification. Access through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our mediator or go-between. Something that Old Testament saints never had. And we looked at what it meant to now have a standing before God. A standing that's not based upon our own merit, as many have tried to claim, but a standing based on the finished work of Jesus on our behalf. And all of that moved on logically to the hope of glory, or the expectation of glory, meaning that we know that one day we will all be glorified. One day we'll be like our Saviour. Because that's the natural progression of what Paul is saying here. An expectation in which we can all rejoice. I wonder, how real is that expectation to you all? Are you living your life now in full knowledge and light of what's coming to you? What does it mean to you to have that confident expectation or the hope of glory? Because if it's not real, then this next section will go right over your head. If it's not real, you won't see any benefit at all in glorying in the tribulations or troubles in verse 3. Some will think that Paul's lost his mind at this point. He's lost the plot. But his logic is impeccable as it presents the fifth benefit of justification. If we have hope of glory, if we have that confidence present in our thinking, and if it's real, and if it's concrete, then why should we worry about things that people do against us in this life? Why should we worry about things that we can do nothing about? They're only temporary. They'll soon be gone forever. But more than that is saying that these things are actually productive in the process of maturing us as a Christian. He's saying that we rejoice not in spite of our troubles, but because of our troubles. Why? Because those troubles should help us to persevere. They give us character. They should bring out the person who we have really become. They force us to rely upon God instead of ourselves, which is the whole point of being a Christian, isn't it? We have to rely completely upon God for our salvation. So now we can rely upon him for the details of this life, and especially when things go wrong. William Barclay said this: it was hard to be a Christian in Rome. And remembering that, Paul produces a great climax. Trouble, he says, produces fortitude. Pressure produces fortitude. All kinds of things may press in on the Christian: the pressure of want, pressure of need, straitened circumstances, the pressure of sorrow, of persecution, the pressure of unpopularity, the pressure of loneliness. And I'm sure you can identify with one or more of these, or even think of some other types of pressure of your own. All of that pressure, says Paul, produces fortitude. And the Greek word he uses here, hupomone, means more than endurance. It means a spirit that can overcome the world, a spirit that can overcome all those different kinds of pressure. A spirit that doesn't just passively endure these pressures, but one which actively overcomes the troubles and tribulations of life. When Beethoven was threatened with deafness, and that's not a good thing for a musician, is it? He said, "I'll take life by the throat." That's hupomone. When Scott was threatened with bankruptcy because of his publishers, he said, "No one will say to me, poor man, my own right hand will repay the debt." That's also hupomone. It's a spirit that meets things head on and overcomes them. Paul shows there's a logical progression from tribulation, which produces perseverance, which brings about proven character, and then hope or confident expectation. The tribulations which Paul speaks of result in patience, a patience that isn't passive, a patience that does more than simply endure, but the ability to remain strong while bearing the burden of whatever the tribulation or the trouble might be. The test of endurance in turn results in fortitude, or proof of the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, the one who makes this perseverance possible, the one who helps us, the one who bears us up through our troubles. And when all this happens, the result is hope, the certain knowledge that as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, we'll one day be glorified, just like the Son of God, just like he was when he exited this world in his ascension. It's a perfect circle. We begin with hope in verse 2. And if we didn't have that confident expectation of glory because we've already been declared righteous, a righteousness that we don't have to worry about earning in the first place, then everything that follows would get to us, would break us down if we didn't have that hope. We'd be no different in our thinking than the unbeliever. From there we go through troubles of many different kinds, spiritual, emotional, physical and financial troubles. But sustained by the grace of God, those difficulties only cause us to remain steadfast, if we are sustained by the grace of God. We find fortitude, a proven character we never would have discovered without those tribulations. And this endurance demonstrates that we are indeed the children of God, which encourages us again in the hope of the glory of God. Thus, as Paul says, having been justified, we can exult in our tribulations. And when we display this kind of hope, this kind of fortitude in our troubles, we're a witness to the world. When instead of saying, "Why did God let this happen to me?" we demonstrate the attitude that Beethoven had, that Scott had, we cause them to want to know more about what we've got that they haven't. We live in a society that's destroying itself, aren't we, through becoming more and more dependent upon the state, a dependence that's bankrupting our nation. But Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." And to understand that saying, you have to understand what salt was used for in the ancient world. Yes, it was used as a preservative, as we all know, and we've heard plenty of illustrations on that aspect of salt. It was also used as a weapon to destroy, as in times when it was used to poison fields, to render them useless for growing crops for the people who lived there. But that wasn't its predominant function. We use it today for the same purpose that they used it for. It's one of the ingredients in fertilizers, if you look on the side of the bag. You'll see sodium in one of its forms mentioned in the ingredients. Because if it's used lightly or sparingly on the fields, then it only poisons the top layer of food, of soil. The layer where, generally speaking, all the weeds grow. So that the crop that you want to grow, which have deeper roots, roots that aren't affected by a light application of salt, aren't crowded out by the weeds, because the salt kills them. Why do you think it warns on the side of the bag not to exceed the stated dose? So we become the salt of the earth, as Jesus put it to his disciples, by weeding out of our lives those practices, those attitudes that perhaps we had before we became Christians, that were sinful, that were self-serving, that were dishonouring to God. And we become the salt of the earth by demonstrating to those around us our hope, our fortitude, our perseverance in times of tribulation. Because this endurance through trials and tribulations is our demonstration that we are, indeed, the children of God. But it won't happen unless we are consistent in our time with God, in prayer, in his word, meditating upon its meaning for us, and then applying it to our daily situations, asking God to guide us through them. We have to have something positive for those good roots to grow down into. And then there's an illustration of that from the Old Testament, perfect one, in Jeremiah, in chapter 17, and verses 7 to 9. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. There's that word again, isn't it? Hope, confidence. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So even in the midst of troubles, if our focus is on our peace with God, our standing before him, because we've been justified by faith, our confident expectation of glory, then we can be an even stronger witness for him than we might have been in normal circumstances, if we're walking in fellowship with him through our mediator Jesus Christ, allowing ourselves to be used by him, whatever our circumstances, under the guidance of his Spirit who indwells us for that very purpose. Because as he says in verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to you. So if you're in a situation that's getting on top of you, one that's getting you down, maybe you need to spend a bit more time with the Lord after first making sure you're in fellowship with him. More time in his word, and ask him to pour out that love into your heart a bit more, so that you can even endure and even shine forth as a beacon for him, despite all of those things that you might be going through. Amen.